Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. Should you want to send us an email, you can send it to comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, and Steve Jordahl joins us this half hour. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How you doing, brother?
I'm well. Yeah.
All right. Get us started. What do you got this morning?
Let me just ask you guys. You guys been following the big dance, the NCAA tournament?
I have. March Madness.
Yeah.
I have not.
You might have noticed then.
I watch
if
hockey.
It ain't hockey, it ain't real man sport.
I know, but I watch the hockey. Reason I'm asking, we can just tell you about this.
But so, I do watch.
Oregon State, number 12. They made it to the Elite Eight, which is just like, and you know, that's kind of why people that aren't hardcore basketball, college basketball fans tune in. Oh, they got a number 12 seed that's
we like the Cinderella stories.
Yeah. So sure. They lose to Houston 67-61 in the round of eight, and yeah, it was close. So they go back to their hotel, and the NCAA says, you got to be out and on a flight by 1:15 this morning. They don't even let them spend the night and sell, you know, they flew them to Corvallis
at 1:15 in the morning.
At 1:15 in the morning, they wouldn't even let them. They kicked them out of the hotel. You lost.
Wow.
You're out.
You loser. You losers.
They hit Corvallis at 4 in the morning.
What they've got going on with this particular year NCAA basketball tournament? Of course, they didn't have the tournament last year.
Right.
Is they're holding it all in one state, in Indiana. So I don't know why they kicked the Beavers out, because they were already feeling bad enough when they got back to their hotel. They were out of the tournament. And then the NCAA says, you get out of here. You got to go home now.
And that was because of COVID?
I don't know. They didn't want to pay for another night. I don't know. Who knows why they got sent home. But
well, that's just wrong.
It's just wrong. All right, Steve.
So this just broke. We continue to be amazed by Facebook and Instagram and their wonderful unbiased coverage, but not really. So President Trump sat down with his daughter-in-law, Laura, and he was talking, and they did an interview on her podcast. Well, Facebook has removed the interview. And why?
On her Facebook page?
On her Facebook page. Listen to this. The social media giant sent an email to Laura Trump, saying the video had been blocked because he is still banned, President Trump, from the platform, and the clip featured President Trump speaking and the voice of Donald Trump. You're out.
Yeah, he's permanently banned.
But I mean, so no news clip if you have his voice on there.
Right.
You can't do that.
Now, let me just say.
Talk about being canceled.
And let me just say this. This is a problem, and this is across all social media, YouTube, Twitter, all of it have done the same thing. In response, they say, to the January 6th events at the Capitol, which they blame on Trump. Okay? So here's where this is a huge problem for them. Should former President Trump run again in 2024, you will have to pay. If you have silenced a candidate on social media, that will have to be considered if you then
a donation have, in kind to the other
yes,
candidate.
A donation in kind to the other candidate, including in the primaries. If he runs, you'll have to pay. You have to pay up.
If I was Donald Trump, that might be tempting just for that reason alone.
That's ridiculous what Facebook's doing right there. Just ridiculous. Just shows their blatant political bias. Because come on. Now, if you want to suspend the president himself on his own Facebook page for a given amount of time, okay. But if you want to, you're going to say, no, we're going to go after anybody. We're going to shut down anybody that even interviews him. Are plays do they include playing clips of a speech from his?
Well, now they haven't shut down Laura Trump's own Facebook page.
Okay, my apologies.
They took just the video off.
The video's off.
Okay, only. All right, I got you. I still think that's, unless he's advocating for something that's people to do something illegal.
No, he wasn't.
Then come on. People are adults. They're smart enough to listen to somebody's speech, especially if he's the ex-president.
Right.
Of the United States.
Well, I will say this, that whatever else President Trump decides to do in the years to come, the rumored launch of an alternative social media platform or platforms, I think might be one of the biggest things he could possibly do, because there are tons of conservatives that just can't wait to get off certain social media platforms that will, at this point, remain unnamed.
If there's a viable alternative.
If there's a viable alternative, they'll get off it. And then what you'll have is you'll have Twitter, you'll have Facebook, probably not YouTube, because that's not primarily political in nature. But you'll have a liberal version of those and a conservative version of those.
And you have Fox News, MSN,
and MSNBC and CNN.
Yeah.
Well, it's so well
News
done.
Max.
Well done, Facebook and Twitter.
You're going to hurt yourself.
You're going to hurt yourself.
Well, just in case you're interested, he was talking to his daughter-in-law about the Hunter Biden laptop story. He was talking about Biden's green agenda. And then it says, and this might have something to do with it, he tore into social media and mainstream media. So that might have something
to
do with it.
Very unusual for Donald Trump.
I know. And Facebook didn't leave him up saying Facebook is a... Yeah.
Okay. Now, is she going to run for Senate in North Carolina?
Last I heard, she's considering it, but hadn't heard a decision.
She's from North Carolina.
Yeah.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, Laura.
That she was thinking of running.
That's the last thing I heard. I don't know if she'd made up her mind yet or who else is going to run there. There's a retiring senator, I think. Is it Burr? Help me out here. Somebody help me.
Richard Burr?
I know people in North Carolina are shouting at the radio right now. I don't want to say there's a retiring.
There's Richard Burr and Tom Tillis.
I think Burr's retiring. And they're both Republicans. And so that's what I'm talking about. Retiring maybe next year. We'll see. I'll get my facts right. but I think I'm on to something right there. Go ahead, Steve.
Some approval numbers are coming in for President Biden to see how the American people are feeling.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of mixed for him. Now, overall, he's doing pretty good. Overall, 52% of Americans say that they approve of the job he's doing. 40% disapprove.
You think that's pretty good?
Well, considering that most presidents, unless it was like George Bush in the 90s right after 9/11... They do hover around.
High 40s.
Relatively speaking.
Because I would say pretty good to me would be over 60. But I understand what you're saying. In the divided country we live in, if you can get over 50%.
Historically, they've taken this.
President Trump hovered around 45.
Right. Well, it's interesting. On the economy... it's pretty evenly split. 51% say he's doing well. 41% say he's not.
Economy,
but
he's not doing squat on the economy. Just handing out.
He's
just handing out Monopoly money.
Okay, so he's handing out Monopoly money.
Yeah.
And people are applauding him.
Yes, they are. People handing you money, wouldn't you applaud them?
So huh? I wonder if that's related.
Now you're gonna have to keep it up because people get addicted to free money.
By the way, President Obama's first term average was 49% approval.
So on the coronavirus, he's polling at 65%. He's doing pretty well on the coronavirus. He's not doing quite nearly as well on immigration. Only 34% of Americans say he's doing well on immigration. 54% say he is doing poorly.
And that is with the media either covering for the Biden administration's approach to immigration or being shut out of being able to show it. So I would guess those disapproval ratings would spike even higher if people were watching it nightly.
You want to watch those numbers come up for Biden on immigration and on handling the border crisis? You wait till Harris gets through.
Right.
She's about to hit this thing head on, and she is a problem solver.
Yes, so, she is.
Huh? So you just wait. Give it another.
Honorary member of another, the Kamala Harris fan club,
yeah,
right
give it
there.
Another 7 years or so. You watch what Harris does.
By the way, to your point,
yeah.
President Obama's highest approval rating was his first month as president in 2009, 69%. So that's what you're saying. Those are good numbers if you're in the 60s.
Oh, yeah, sure. And yeah, absolutely.
Another number from the poll that's not exactly related to Joe Biden, only 34% of Americans say that if the vaccine was available, would they choose to take it?
Really?
Repeat what you just said.
34% of Americans say, yes, we will take it. 36% they've said they've already received it. So I guess that's 60. That's near 70%. 25% say, no, they're not going to take it.
Vaccine.
The vaccine.
Vaccines.
Vaccine.
Which are there three of them available in the U.S. now or four?
I think three.
I think there's Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson.
Moderna.
And Moderna.
Moderna.
Is there another one?
What's the other one? I think
there's some
Hasbro.
No, you're thinking of Mr. Potato Head. That was a whole different controversy.
But he got vaccinated. You didn't see that?
Huh? Mr. Potato Head got vaccinated.
Yeah, he got vaccinated. All right.
Speaking of the border.
I'm sorry. I'll be laughing about that today. But I do have a sense of impending doom.
Do you?
Good.
I guess that.
Good. Have that with some salmon and a salad. Okay,
All right. Go ahead,
Steve.
We're talking about the Trump's numbers coming up at the border. Biden's number coming up at the border if he puts AOC in charge. That's what you said. You said Biden's number.
Kamala Harris.
What did I say?
AOC.
It's all right. We understand.
Hello, everybody.
You didn't say ACDC.
Well, this is why I'm saying it, is because I want you to hear AOC's been talking, which is not unusual.
Right.
And she's got some things to say, and she doesn't like certain words being used when we're talking about these poor migrants. Listen to Joe Biden, and then listen to AOC. This is cut four.
What I would do as president is several more things, because things have changed. I would, in fact, make sure that we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum.
Just gut check. Stop. Anyone who's using the term surge around you consciously is trying to invoke a militaristic frame. This is not a surge. These are children, and they are not insurgents. And we are not being invaded, which, by the way, is a white supremacist idea, philosophy. The idea that if an other is coming in the population, that this is like an invasion of who we are.
I'm not sure, but I think AOC just called Biden a white supremacist.
I'm just trying to control myself here.
No, don't.
The number of lies that she just said. Yeah, first of all, we do need to be fair to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She was not commenting on what Joe Biden was saying. She's commenting now, right?
Right. Yeah.
Biden. It wasn't, but it.
I understand what you're doing there, because
I'm not trying.
It all depends who's saying it.
He went back to the campaign. Steve went back to the campaign when the Democrats were having their primaries, and that what Biden says he wants to have a surge at the border.
Right, of those seeking asylum. I just want to make sure our listeners understood.
And she wasn't reacting to him.
Yes.
But yesterday, that's what AOC said, what she said that he just played, pointing out what Steve just said, that she's calling Biden a white supremacist.
Basically.
Yes, let me hammer AOC, for example, for a moment here, though. And because I'm just getting so tired of everything being white supremacist. Okay, it is not white supremacy. When people say we want a border and we want the border controlled and we don't want people coming in illegally, that is not the same as saying we don't want anyone coming in at all. And that's what she's implying. I think we need immigrants coming in on a regular basis.
We allow a million a year.
We allow a million a year. We want them to do it legally so we know who they are, so they pay taxes, so they pay Social Security, so we know if one of them commits a crime, who they are. That's why we want it. It's not because they're other. That's absurd. It is such a bald-faced lie unless that woman, that representative from New York, unless she really is that delusion.
Okay, listen. I saw a statistic yesterday. I can't reference it right here. That 45% of American Hispanics don't like what's going on at the border. They disagree with letting people just flood in here. Hispanics.
Sure.
But they're Americans. And so what AOC is doing is saying those Hispanics are actually white supremacists.
That's right. That's why this stuff doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I tell you what, we're getting a little tired. I think the country's getting a little tired of everything being white supremacist.
Or racist.
Right.
It's just, okay, every day, everything that happens that's a conservative liberal difference. The conservatives are racist because they have a different view on. Are these 45% of Hispanics racist against people of color?
Right.
Because they want a secure border? This is what, and I think they're overplaying their hand here, these people who say white supremacy and racist every day about everything. After a while, it loses its effectiveness, right?
Yes.
It's like the little boy that cried wolf syndrome going on here. You know, like last week, Biden comes on and says, and the reporter says, President Obama says that the filibuster is a relic of the Jim Crow era. Do you agree with that? And Biden says, yes. Well, the Democrats have been using the filibuster against the Republicans far more, hundreds of times in the last year. So if you had reporters with any brains or credibility, they would follow up with a question like I'm suggesting right here. So you're saying that the Democrats have been using a racist relic of the Jim Crow era thousands of times over the last 20 years or whatever like that. And Biden supported it.
Yes.
And so did Obama. Obama said, we've got to have the filibuster. I got the speech. We've had the speech. Maybe we
all of them
enough.
Did. Schumer, all of these guys.
They're
did.
Just a bunch of lying and just rank liars.
Well, I'll tell hypocrites. You, let me just differ on this issue a little bit. I don't think they're lying. I think they know. I think they're using it as an instrument.
I agree with you on that.
They're using it as an instrument to prime the pump for getting rid of the filibuster.
Right.
So that they can say, listen, we just want to get rid of this relic from the Jim Crow era. So don't you support us getting rid of the filibuster? Because now it's
because it's a racist.
Right.
It's a racist. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
And you're going, come on.
Plus, this whole thing that AOC was saying, Steve, and then we'll pitch it back to you. Yeah. We do want you to talk a little bit.
We do.
This whole idea of
even though you're
surge
white.
And insurgent, that's just conflating the use of terms so you can put the worst possible spin on it. When people talk about a surge to the border, they're talking about surge like you have when you have a flood and a river goes over its banks. You have a sudden sharp increase in numbers. That's different than insurgent, yeah. Even though that sounds like the same word.
But to your point earlier, and Steve's, what AOC is doing here is again, it's the daily left. Hey, how can we make this into a racial issue? How can we call the Republicans racist? What today have they done that's supporting white supremacy? So she says this. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. But she throws it out there, I guess, red meat for her followers.
I personally think that the left jumped the shark when they started calling Abraham Lincoln racist. That, to me,
yes,
is like,
I know.
Come on.
I know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right, Steve.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead, Steve.
Steve, every time you come in here,
No,
I leave feeling badly. I have a sense of impending doom, and I don't like it.
Yeah. Well that's racist.
Impending doom, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought I'd say that. I just wanted to say that.
You can't prove it.
No, I can't prove it. I don't even know what you said, but I just wanted to give a Democrat response to whatever you said today, Ed.
I know. Well, listen, I had a vanilla milkshake last night. Further evidence.
There you go.
Further evidence of my white privilege.
It's subconscious. That may have even been subconscious, but it was still racist. So anyway.
So a lot of you guys out there have seen this horrific video of this Chinese or Asian woman that was beaten senseless by a black man
in New York.
In New York, while the security guards at the building right in front of it closed the door and ignored it. It's just a horrific video. Well, they found the guy. His name is Brandon Elliott. He's 38 years old. And it turns out that he was on lifetime parole for murdering his mother in 2002. He was paroled in 2019.
Lifetime parole, what does that mean?
That means forever. He's never going to get off parole. He is on parole, and for the remainder of his life, he has to check in with his parole
office. Oh, I see. Okay.
He's not going to, you know, you got 4 years of parole after you rob a bank or whatever.
Oh, I see. All right.
He's lifetime. He murdered his mother, and they let him out in 2019 after serving 17 years for second-degree murder. So this guy, the wonderful justice system that doesn't want to keep
I don't know how many people saw that. That was just a horrific video. This woman, this 67-year-old woman going to church, Asian-American woman, and this guy you described, the fellow, what was his name?
His name is Brandon Elliott.
And he's a big fellow, too.
Man. Yeah. He just pummeled this poor woman, just kicked her in the head and beat her, threw her down on the ground and said, You shouldn't even be here. I'm quoting. It was a hate crime, if that's what you want to, you know.
Yeah.
Against the woman, but so he was out on.
He was out on permanent on parole.
Yeah.
After murdering his mother, and to go back to your former point, I saw a tweet this morning by a guy named medical doctor Eugene Gu. And
who?
Eugene Gu. I don't know that.
Who?
Yeah.
I just wanted to rhyme.
Goo-hoo.
Yeah. I'm rapping.
And I'm really hoping he's a better doctor than he is a sociologist, because he tweets out, black on Asian crimes only occur because of our system of white supremacy that strips African Americans of their economic
for everything, man.
Hold on, let me finish reading it. It strips African Americans of their economic opportunities while taking respect and dignity away from Asian Americans. Also, white people in power are experts at dividing and conquering to stay in power.
Oh my god.
This guy is a violent sociopath who killed his mother.
Yeah, some random doctor on.
But it's the fault of white supremacy.
It is.
Come on, man.
Man.
Take responsibility.
The guilt I feel every day when I wake up for causing the problems of the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's if everything's racist, then nothing is in the end. I
mean, did you have anything good and happy?
Do. Please share.
I came across this. There's a couple of Antifa dudes. This is satire. A couple of Antifa dudes who have got a racket going. They break the windows and then they disguise themselves as window repair. Listen to this clip.
Hi, I'm Don.
And I'm Ron, and we are members of Antifa. But what you don't know is that we're also the founders of
Not Antifa Window Repair.
If you ever need window repair, I got a bit of a suspicion you will, so.
We realized that by living this double life, we were able to create the demand for our own services.
We organize and cause riots, which then cause damage that creates customers.
Then we take our costumes off, Clark Kent style, and show up first on the scene to get the business.
Some bad people out there,
yes,
so.
Yeah. Stuff happens, stuff's going to happen.
Capitalism by day, communism by night.
Ooh, that's a nice.
Where did you find that?
That was from a website called Citizen Free Press. .com, which is a great aggregate news site.
Oh my goodness.
That's
right.
Hilarious.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to AFR. We appreciate it. And we will see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.